This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
Well, here we are, the Tailgater Show. Once again, college football playoff semifinals. Ducks taking on Indiana. And, guys, we were talking before the show. I got to be honest, Indiana's a juggernaut right now. They are playing really, really well on both sides of the ball. And the Ducks are coming in, played really good on defense against Texas Tech New Year's Day, that early riser.
Yeah, that was fun.
An early stinking game. And offensively, really, really struggled.
Yeah, for sure. The run game just wasn't there. That Texas Tech defense was, as advertised, a brick wall. David Bailey, what do you have, a sack, a couple of knockdowns, and it just seemed like that guy was wherever the ball was, and thank goodness that Lanning decided to do a fake punt and go for it on fourth down, and, you know, the special teams, I think, played really great, and I think that was one of the reasons Oregon won, but that Texas Tech defense was...
I tell you, David Bailey, he was almost, it seemed like he was cloned. He was all over the place so many times. You know, it seemed like there was three of him out there. He's on either side of the field, blowing guys up all over the field. Amazing. He was good as advertised. And like I said beforehand, he's projected to go to the Washington Commanders in the draft, so I'm looking forward to it.
That's going to be good. You know, if you didn't know, Jerry is a Commanders fan.
I think he's a Redskins fan.
Yeah, I am a Redskins fan. Yeah, and maybe one day they'll actually take that name back. I don't know. You're right. Texas Tech, that defense, and you know, for them being on the field as long as they were that game, they still played really, really tough. Yep. They did not give up. I mean, they were down by 16 points in the fourth quarter, and then the Ducks just threw in a late one. And you know, to be honest, I'm happy to see that.
And you know, I'd like to revisit that 16 points. It very well could have been 28. Dan went for it for four times on fourth down when he could have kicked the field goal. Some of them I was like, okay, and some of them I was screaming at the TV, take the points, Dan. This is a game you lose, your home, you're going home.
Well,
take
the
points.
Four of eight on fourth down attempts in that game. We missed four fourth down attempts, and they were all short yardage. I mean, there were certainly opportunities to take a lot more points and field goals.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have confidence in your team, but that Texas Tech defense, woo-wee.
It sure seemed like they knew what we were going to do, because a lot of times we're just flipping it out to Davison or to Whittington or whoever. Hill, I don't think Hill really got as many touches as everybody else, but he will today.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. But yeah, it just seemed like we should have had a lot of more play action. We needed to flip it back to the other side of the field, because Texas Tech, that defense over pursues everything. And if Indiana does that today, I really think Will Stein has got to open up that playbook just a little bit better, because that run game that today, it's not going to happen. I think it's going to be very, very similar to the Texas Tech game last week.
Looking at the defensive lines of both of these teams, they're very similar in that they're so disciplined. I mean, they just send those four guys every time, and their linebackers are making most of the tackles. I mean, you look at Hardy in our first game against Indiana. That guy made like eight or nine tackles, something like that. And, you know, we already talked enough about Texas Tech. But their linebacker cores were just heat-seeking missiles going after the guys, because those defensive lines were able to do it all. I mean, they only rushed four, you know, pretty much the entire game. Every once in a while, they'd send one of those linebackers, you know, or the fourth clone of Bailey, and you know, whatever happens.
You know, they got in on our offensive line. They just the line has really struggled for whatever reason. I know, is it Harkey? I think he's out. Is it Harkey? Who's our offensive lineman that went out at the end of the game?
It was Harkey, but he's not out for today's game.
Okay. I mean, I just assumed. I think the only offensive lineman
out for this one is Janoris Wilson.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody else is listed as...
Everybody else is a running back or a cornerback.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you know, we actually might have Sadiq play some running back. You never know, especially on some short yardage plays.
Betcher.
Gosh.
For those listeners who don't know, Jordan Davison is out with a broken clavicle, and everybody's losing their mind like the Ducks are sunk, and I don't think that's the case. Whittington's still healthy. Deer Hill's still healthy. You know, you had Lemar leave in the portal. Jay Harris is in the portal, but he is going to play in the game. They confirmed that yesterday. So, you know, Whittington's been our back for 3 years. He's not a scrub. He's a good kid. And De'Aaron Hill's quick. And then you put Harris out there to be the lead blocker.
I hear you, and I want to believe it. The thing is, you look at our first Indiana game. What was that, the fifth or sixth game of the year? Sixth game of the year, I think. I think we were 5-1 after that. The growth in the team since then has been with the next man up receiver and with the two freshman running backs. That game, what did he have? He rushed for 7.4 yards per carry, but he only had, what, eight carries?
Yeah, like 59 yards.
Eight carries for 59 yards. Noah Whittington had five carries for 27 yards. No slouch, 5.4 per carry. Lamar had three carries for 17 yards, 5.7. So it wasn't like we weren't moving the ball with a run.
Right.
We just didn't stick with it. The seven penalties we had had a lot to do with that, you know, putting us in behind the chains. That is gotta be one of the keys to this game, is keeping ahead of the chains and keeping on schedule and moving down the field. I remember you talking about it. You were probably the most bombastic about it, is talking about, you know, why did we stop running the ball? We were running it so good.
Well, I think you're right, Jerry. I think it was because of the penalties, and we got behind the eight ball, and we had to throw the football. So, and then they just pinned their ears back, and they were just coming after Dante, thus the six sacks. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that they can take away from that last game and really switch things up. And I think, like I said earlier, Will Stein's got to open up that playbook a little bit, because it seems like it's very, very predictable. I mean, if you looked at the Texas Tech game, you know, those swing passes out to the outside, they were all over it.
Right.
And really, a couple of them could have been picked off. And so I think we're telegraphing a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so I really hope that they go back and look at the film and see, okay, let's mix these things up here a little bit. And maybe you just fake throwing it out and then you go to the other side. I mean, I really want to see a lot of misdirection here, because I think Dante, he really keys in on certain receivers, and it almost seems like he's telegraphing the play that they're going to be running.
Well, I want to say fast misdirection. It seems like we played a lot of plays where they were long developing plays. You know, Indiana did such a good job of, you know, crowding those 7 yard outs that we really like to do. So they were right there, and their linebackers oftentimes dropped back because they were able to do it all with that 4-man front. So then they dropped back in that same zone where we couldn't get those quick outs out, you know, and I love seeing a few screens in there. You know, we talked about this last time, but they were trying to go over the top. And, you know, you look at the receivings, you know, talking about the growth of this team since that game, Malik Benson had one catch in that game. Granted, it was for 44 yards and a touchdown, but one catch. DeCorian Moore had four catches in that game. He's back and available, but that, you know, that allowed the growth of some of these other guys. Gary Bryant Jr. had four catches. So eight catches out of those two guys that have been out for most of the year. McClellan had one catch in that game. So the two guys that we've been relying on for the last few weeks, Benson and McClellan, only two catches in that game. So that's a lot of growth that we've had as a team. And now to add, you know, Gary Bryant Jr. and DeCorian Moore back into the mix, we've got the receivers there that should be able to get out and quick and, you know, get into that misdirection, but have those guys on hot routes. Sadiq, another guy, only two catches in that game. Are you kidding me? Sadiq, let's go.
And what about Johnson?
And Jamari, you know, he's really developed well.
One catch for 3 yards.
Yeah, I mean, when Sadiq went down and he was out with that injury for a couple of weeks, Jamari really stepped up, and I think showed what he's capable of doing, and I'd like to see them both on the field at the same time today.
You know, I'd really like to see us open up some more, like I said, playbook. I keep coming back to open up the playbook a little bit more. Dante's got to just check off receivers. You can't just focus. Even last week, he just pinned his eyes over the middle, and he got picked.
Yep.
And so he had a guy wide open, just over to the right on the sideline. So it's just like, Dante, what are you doing?
There was a couple of times where the announcers were saying, oh, he's going to kick himself when he watches the tape of this. He's got such and such over the top, wide open.
That was Sadiq over the middle right there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was a fourth down play.
It was a fourth down play. And so there's so many things that you can take away, and hopefully they can I think Dante gets a little uptight in the pocket. And so I think, you know, when guys are coming after him like that, and rightly so, when you're getting the crap kicked out of you, I mean, you're going to be a little antsy and you're going to get some happy feet. And so I think he's just looking to get that ball out of his hand as soon as he possibly can and is not able to go through his progression. So hopefully he's going to be able to just take it easy and really just look at that film, not only from Indiana, but even from last week against Texas Tech. And I think it's really going to make him grow and see where he's missing things.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think they even showed that in the Ducks versus them after the first Indiana game. You know, they showed, hey, we're watching film, and you got this guy wide open going down the middle, going down the seam. What are we thinking here? I mean, why are we not throwing the ball to this guy? And, you know, we talked about it. Fifth game of the season, sixth game of the season, whatever it was the first time they played it. I know me personally going into that game, I overlooked Indiana. You know, they had a great season last year, but when they played a team of substance, they got their butts kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they hadn't really played anybody. Oregon was their first real test of the season. And so everybody, myself included, and maybe some of the players and other fans were looking at it like, oh, it's Indiana. They were good last year, but we're going to stick it to them this year because we didn't know how good Mendoza could be or how good their defense was. And I think it's going to be a little bit different. You know, they say it's hard to beat a good team twice in a season, and I think Lanning's going to have them prepared.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back from this break. The Tailgater Show, Ducks taking on Indiana for the second go-round. It's going to be fun. Peach Bowl. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now back to Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
Welcome back to the Tailgater Show. Ducks taking on Indiana. Lovedale Kennedy. Kennedy.
Velvet Lips of Justice?
That's exactly right. That's what he just said.
I like it.
Appreciate Dale's sponsorship. If you've got tax issues, you definitely want to give him a call. CPA and an attorney. He knows the law, and he will help you. Okay. We've been talking the break. We're dissecting things, and we just look at this Indiana team. And, you know, to be honest, obviously you guys have been listening to a bunch of different commentators all week long, and what I continually hear is like Indiana is just a complete juggernaut after their win against Alabama last week in the Rose Bowl. And I'm going to call foul on that one because I don't think that is necessarily the case. When you look back at that Rose Bowl game, there was no score in the first quarter. Alabama was hanging tight. They were playing good D. And then their quarterback gets hurt, causes a fumble. I mean, just a huge hit. He's out of the game. They've got their backup quarterback in there for the rest of the game. And needless to say, they were going 3-and-out quite a few times. Just couldn't get anything rolling. And, I mean, I think they had one good drive where this backup threw one down the sideline and they went for a few yards. But
I think it was Austin Mack came in.
I think so. He's tall. I mean, he's a big kid and he's going to be good. But, you know, you're thrown into a game like that. You haven't played all year and all of a sudden everything's on the line in the college football playoff. And that never goes very well. All Indiana had to do was pin their ears back and just go after this guy. But you knew the game was over after that. They just couldn't sustain a drive and couldn't score any points, and they only ended up with 3 all game. But Indiana looked very, very good after that point. So, but is it real? That's what my point is. Is that really a good indicator?
You know, we talked a lot in that first segment about Indiana's defense, and obviously they're really good. Looking at them, they haven't given up 15 offensive points all year. The Ducks scored 20 against them, but 6-7 of those points were due to a pick six.
Yep.
So they haven't given up more than 15 points all year. So they are that good. We were on a roll to do it. You know, we looked pretty good in that first half against them last time. That Atticus Sappington missed field goal, you know, it was like 30-yard chip shot that he missed at the end of the half. And all they had to do was go like 15 yards and they kicked a 58-yard field goal with 1 second left. So instead of going into halftime up 13-10, we went into halftime down 13-10. And you know, the momentum just seemed to shift and, you know, go right down the toilet with that. And those guys are so disciplined. They do not beat themselves. Indiana is number one in the country in turnover margin. Texas Tech was tied for them last week until they met the Mighty Ducks and had turned it over four different times. But Indiana is still number one in the country in turnover margin.
You know, I think Mendoza is a little bit more savvy than what's his name for Texas Tech? Can't remember his name right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Baron Morton.
Yeah, Morton. I mean, he came in with high accolades, and he just looked awful. He almost was like Dante Moore against Indiana. He had guys that were open down the sidelines, and you know, his running back is, you know, out in the flat, nobody around him within 10 yards, and he didn't even do anything. He couldn't even see him. He was just so, you
that
know,
may
flustered.
Have been your biggest understatement of the entire year. Fernando Mendoza, Heisman Trophy winner, he's a little bit better than Baron Morton.
Well, no, that's not it. What I was saying. I
just think, a little bit.
Okay. At two different conferences, Jerry. Yeah, two totally different coming into the game, they're giving him accolades
they
like that, and then reality
really talking
set
about
in.
Well, and we talked about that last week. Big 12, who have they played? Found out they haven't played really anybody.
Yeah, and it's too bad because, I mean, they really made the Big 12 look horrible.
Yes.
Absolutely horrendous. Yeah. And the Ducks looked really good, but the defense, like we talked about, as advertised, the best defense in the country, bar none.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think Indiana is too far behind, but I think there are holes in Indiana that we can exploit in this game. But you were talking about Fernando Mendoza. He's kind of a wizard back there. He's an ultimate game manager, but he doesn't make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. He's got like two picks in the entire year. One of them is against us. But he runs the ball effectively, too. You don't think he's a scrambler and stuff, but the guy, you know, he makes the right decision. I was watching an interview with Lanning, and he's talking about, you know, they're in one deep, two deep, but he makes the right decision zone. Man, he makes the right decision every time. And you're like, how can a guy be, you know, that spot on with choosing the right guy to throw to each time? A lot of them are really fast throws, so that certainly helps. But when he hasn't had a guy and he goes through his progressions very quick, he's very effective as a runner. So that's another thing that we have to look at in this game. It's a good thing we've got two really good guys up the middle in Betcher and my favorite, number 31.
Dylan Thieneman.
Last week's, my X factor of the game for me. But and he came through with, 9 tackles last week? So that was really cool. But for me, for bragging rights, for nothing else.
No, but I think you're right, Jerry. I think that he is definitely an X factor. I mean, he runs that whole offense, and you're right about the progressions. But when there's nobody open, especially on those third down plays, I mean, I know that they like to get, like, if they're at third down and 5, I mean, there's so many areas that they can go to. Yeah, they can run the ball. I mean, he can throw this thing out to the flat. He can hang out. And just, if you're going to blitz this guy, I mean, if he gets by you, he's a big dude. I mean, what is he, like 6'4", and he's 230? I mean, he's a solid guy, but he's fast. I mean, he can hit those holes, and he can go. He can go for 10, 15 yards in an instant.
And he's super decisive. And it's that quickness. As soon as he decides, he's gone. And you're like, geez.
I know. So it's going to be – the defense has – they've got a lot.
They've got their hands full.
That's a good way to put it, Brandon. And
But I will go back to the first time we played them. Very young defense. You know, Bear wasn't really playing much. He's really evolved this over the course of the season. Brandon Finney has been a stud all year. He's the one that had the pick six the first game. Yeah. Had two picks and a fumble recovery last week against Texas Tech. Much better. And
Uyunglele
basically stole the ball out of Morton's hands. So I think the defense on Oregon's side is evolved as well as has Indiana's offense, but I think Oregon's defense is peaking at the right time.
Who do you think most of the pressure is on this game? Just out of sheer curiosity.
Indiana.
You do?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Because they're the undefeated number one ranked team in the nation, and everybody's saying they're going to win it all. So that pressure is on them. Oregon, they're the underdog. Everybody expects them to lose. I think I've seen one person has picked Oregon.
I saw this brought up in one of those podcasts or whatever, and they had mentioned the fact that Indiana's kind of the new guy on the block. Cignetti's only been there for 2 years. So is the pressure really on him? He talks all the time about repetition and repetition, mm-hmm. repetition to drive into these guys. And you can see the discipline in the way that they play, you know, game in and game out. Super, super disciplined team. So you know, I wonder if all that repetition built into them will have them fairly calm. They know what their role is. They know the job. So I don't know. I think it might be the Ducks. I mean, what was it? Oh, it was the podcast you sent me. It was, they called him.
He's
they
pointing
called the Ducks.
To me, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, what? They can't see me? Thank God they can't see this gross beard I got. but they called the Ducks the Rory McIlroy of,
yes,
of football.
I remember that, yeah.
And it was because they, you know, they've been there quite a few times, and this is now Lanning's fourth year?
I believe it is.
Yeah. So, you know, and the Ducks are that bright, shiny object, you know. I think the way Dan Lanning prepares the guy, you know, my Dan Lanning, you know, man crush moment of the day, is the way he prepares them and the way he psychologically gets them ready for the game, the pound of flesh against Texas Tech, the way he brought that up and stuff. Just the way I have a hard time choosing pressure as a key to this game, but probably the Ducks. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think they think of it that way. I think they just want to go out and they just want to play. And I think both of these coaches are extremely intense. They show it in different ways. Signetti's over there. I mean, he's just frowning on the sideline. It's like he's giving you the evil eye. You know what I mean? His head's down and he's just doing that. But Dan Lanning, I mean, he wears his emotions on his shoulder, and he is a crazy man, especially when the defense came out and, you know, he's just let stink and go. I mean, that's not what he said, but I got to be honest. That guy, I think that is a better way to motivate your guys and fire them up than just a guy standing stoic on a sideline. Obviously, they're two different, and both teams are used to their head coaches and the way that they prepare and what they're like. But
well, did you see that Signetti actually addressed that? People were mentioning how he looks so stern on the sideline, and he's like, I think the basic gist of it was, I'm just concentrating on what we're trying to do. I don't need to be super emotional. I need to be, you know, locked in. And so, yeah, that's what he looks like on the sideline. But that, I don't think that means that he's not doing his job.
It's obviously almost like he's a General Patton over there, because, I mean, it's almost like these guys are there. It's military.
Yeah.
It sure seems that way just because of the discipline, like you were talking about, Jerry. It's just like these guys have got it going on, and they know exactly what they're supposed to do and where they're supposed to go. And that's a big deal.
I think military is very appropriate, you bringing that up. He's absolutely old school. And then you look at Lanning, where he's a player's coach. Very disciplined as well, but in such a different way. But he is a player's coach, and he gets fired up. And he's all the time, you know, I see him in interviews talking himself down, saying, all right, I've got to be calm. I've got to be cool in this game. You know, there's going to be enough excitement when those guys hit the turf. I need to get out here and, you know, do my role and keep them. But you see him over there just chomping on the Zen and just going nuts, you know.
Oh, love man. It. Man, all right. Well, hey, we're going to have to get out to another break. The Ducks are kicking it off at 4:30 tonight, and Indiana is this is a huge, huge matchup again. Second time around. It's going to be fun. Peach Bowl. Ducks taking on Indiana. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Once again, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And welcome back to the Tailgater Show. Jeff, Jerry, I wanted to say Jorgie, but it's not. It's Brandon. Ducks taking on Indiana. This is going to be a phenomenal game. First time we've done that today. Sorry, Jerry, I got in your way. But this segment being brought to you by Green Acres Landscape, GA at Home. Green Acres, they've got that really cool, I think it's the sprinkler system thing. What did they just say? The irrigation plan. That's what it is. The sprinkler thing.
No, you nailed it.
Is that a technical term? Sprinkler thing?
The sprinkler thing. I'm not sure, but I
complicated
think
everything with that, you know, wizardry of language. I don't know.
I'm going to get a phone call later. Anyway. Oh, that's great. I'm glad it's Friday, guys. I'll tell you that. Holy smokes. All right. I think we need to go into the keys of the game. And I know, Jerry, you're lit up on this one. I mean, you've got keys.
Jerry excited? No way.
Well, Well, you know, we talked an awful lot about Indiana. We made them sound like world beaters in the first half of this, right? And okay, so what do we have to do to change this around? I think key number one is redemption for Dante Moore. That was his worst game of the year, statistically and just looking at him. He had worst game as an Oregon starter, you know, for sure. Indiana defense held him for, the passing was 21 of 34 for 186 yards, one touchdown and two picks. And he was sacked six times. But it just, you know, like you were talking, Jeff, he just was missing guys. He didn't see the field very well. He was kind of lethargic. He talked about it after the game, and he goes, you know, I just didn't have the right mindset for this game. And isn't that weird? You know, it's a bit of honesty, maybe a little bit too honest. You want to, you know, but they kicked his butt. Number two is, can the Ducks run the ball effectively? You know, the beginning of the year, you know, we were running with a next man up, next guy came in, Noah went down for a while, next guy came, and then the freshman started blowing up. Well, now we got a freshman guy out. But we ran the ball pretty effectively against those guys last game, especially in the first half, and we kind of abandoned it. And, you know, penalties, you know, that sort of stuff, which is number three. But, you know, Noah Whittington, he's a beast. We talked about this before the show. It's not like that guy is not effective. He's a sixth-year senior, maybe an eighth-year senior. I don't know. He's growing a gray beard. But that guy is excellent, and he hits the hole hard and fast. Deer Hill, lightning quick, and he can do a lot of things, you know, running him out of the backfield, tossing him the ball, getting to him in space. Those guys are electric. You talk about Jay Harris. He's the kind of the backup big guy, but we'll see if they throw some wrinkles in there. We'll see a number 44. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the guy we bring in for fullback on occasion, I think we'll see some of those sets where he's maybe knocking a hole through there. And at number three is just that limit mistakes. The penalties have got to go away. The third and long killed us. They pinned their ears back, and Dante was, you know, a sitting duck back there. Literally and figuratively. The seven penalties for 64 yards, almost 10 yards a penalty. That's a lot of holds. You know, that's it's yep. just self-inflicted wounds really hurt us in that game. And, you know, we missed field goals. You know, we gave so much of that game away to them, and Indiana didn't hurt themselves. But we can do this. You know, we talked last game a little bit about the X factors. And one of the guys I talked about was Uyunglele. Nailed it. I haven't got it right forever. It was like Jamari last year.
It only took you 3 years to get his name right. That's okay.
And now he's gone.
You know, whatever. You know, he had been a little quiet the last few where Tuioti was up. I tell you, he wasn't quiet against Texas Tech. I don't know, looked like an interception, fumble recovery. I don't know. He just took the ball away from him. Yeah, at the same time, took the ball away from him. I would have loved to see him rumble into the end zone, but I expect a big game from him there. I think he's fully healthy now. He's motivated. That guy's a stud. So those are my keys.
Yeah, I like the penalties, Jerry. I really think that that game, for whatever reason, I think the old Pac-12 refs were at Autzen Stadium back in October. But, I mean, now we're in the college football playoff, and I don't think penalties are actually really going to be called as much as they had been. I mean, right. I remember one of you sent me a picture of, you know, Texas Tech like totally holding somebody on our defensive line.
Yeah,
it's like, is there holding anymore? It's like in the college football playoff, no.
It was Uyunglele and Bear both had the guys, Texas Tech offensive linemen had handfuls of jersey. And you could just, it was like, I guess that's not a hold anymore.
I just think that they're going to allow them to play the game. I don't think the referees really want to be seen all that much unless it's blatant.
Right.
So I really don't think that is going to be an issue. At least I hope it's not going to. I think false starts, that might be. But here's the thing. It almost seems like the Ducks played better on the road, which they're way on the road.
Undefeated on the road.
So they're in Miami last week, won. And so now they're in Georgia this week.
And let's be honest, this is probably going to be a home game for Indiana. With all of the fans, you know, they're a lot closer. They can drive down there. It's a lot shorter of a flight, and I think a lot of Oregon fans are holding back.
What are they holding back for? The national championship?
Yep. Miami.
It's pretty expensive to go and do these things. If you look at tickets, I mean, my gosh. I mean, I think the cheapest ones are like $300. I mean, up in the nosebleeds. And then it's like, why would you even go to the game if you're way the heck up there?
Right. So, yeah, I agree with you on some of those points of your keys to the game. One of my big ones is going to be offensive line, pass protection, keeping Dante upright. Some of those sacks in the first game were on him, just hanging out too long in the pocket and not throwing the ball away. But we really got to keep the pocket clean, really got to open up some lanes for those running backs. And I think they are able to do it.
I agree with you. Don't you think during Texas Tech, though, they pass blocked very well?
They did.
They gave him a lot of time. I think he had a couple of sacks, but
yeah,
you did. I mean,
Bailey, he's going to do that on
You know, it's
you know,
the
anybody.
Stunting, though, of that of the defensive line and those linebackers, because they all crowd the line, and then, you know, they don't even know who's coming. And I think right. that's really where Dante was. His head wasn't right because of that.
Yep.
And so how they're really going to have to watch a ton of film to see. And even then, you don't even know what's coming. So really, I don't know how you even defend that or offend it.
Experience.
Yeah,
as they say.
I guess so.
I think looking at the two teams, I would say Indiana's probably got a higher floor just based on their experience. Mm-hmm. You know, got a lot of senior-laden team. Cignetti's a really good coach. He's really drilled that discipline into those guys. But overall, athletically, I think the Ducks have a higher ceiling because I just think that the athletes that Oregon has recruited these last 2-3 years have more potential to be better. And I don't think we've seen a complete game on all facets of the game yet from Oregon. You know, we talked about Rutgers a little bit. I just think we haven't seen the offense play to their potential. We haven't seen the defense play to their potential all at the same time.
I think it's going to be predicated on Dante seeing those open receivers. He's got to go, and he's got to see how everybody is lined up and, okay, this is what happens here. And I think a lot of that is going to be looking at the film of the last game, and I think
For sure.
really going to be able to dissect that this time around. At least that's what I'm hoping. So, all right, we're going to get out to another break. The Ducks taking on Indiana one more time at the Peach Bowl in Georgia at the Georgia Dome. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Now back to Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And welcome back to the Tailgater Show. Hopefully it's not the last one for the year. Although the year just started, whatever. This thing being brought to you by Color Tile of Salem. Dave Lee down there, he's got waterproof flooring on sale, that LVT. Luxury vinyl tile, in case you didn't know the acronym.
I did not. Thank you for educating me.
No problem.
Now I know.
I've been saying it for years now, since 1998. Although they didn't have LVT, I don't think, back in 1998.
No.
So I'm kind of giving my age out there a little bit. And we're going to stop doing that. So the Ducks are taking on Indiana, as we've been saying, and should be great at the Peach Bowl. I was corrected at the break that it's not the Georgia Dome. It's Mercedes-Benz Field or Stadium or whatever that is down there in Georgia. You know, I've never been to Atlanta.
Me neither.
Been to the airport. Just passing through on my way to Sawgrass.
Just passing through. But that's typically what you do anyway, Jerry.
Pass through.
All right. Well, we talked about the break. We want to cover this. A common opponent for both of these squads, okay? Penn State. The Ducks had them early, and it was the one that Penn State put on the docket that they needed to win this game, and they didn't, and their season imploded. Their coach got fired, and they were a train wreck. So I don't know how many weeks later, Indiana comes into Happy Valley to take on the Nittany Lions, and that was a heck of a football game. Penn State showed up, and they wanted to prove something again. Franklin was gone, their head coach, and so you've got next guy up in the coaching screen of things, if that's even a term. But that was a heck of a game. Indiana had to come back. Ducks went to double overtime to beat Penn State. Indiana needed a last-minute drive, which was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you, Jerry. Mendoza was the man on that drive. And he threw two passes, one to the outside that got him down to, I think, about the 15-yard line. And time was running out, mind you. They only had time for one more play, maybe two. And they had to score a touchdown.
Yep.
And threw one. I don't even know who caught that pass in the end zone. Tight-roped it. I thought it was incomplete, but he came down, got 1 foot, dragged it, and Indiana wins the game in that way. So what I'm alluding to is the Ducks in Indiana are, these guys are neck and neck, all just on both sides of the ball, coaching staff, everything. Either one of these teams today can win this football game. It just depends on Jerry's keys to the game. That's what it all depends on. And I like the matchup today. I think it's going to be good. I mean, so far, the teams that have played in bowl games, the ones that have lost have come back and they've won.
Yep.
And that was the Ducks last year. They played Ohio State, won, got blown out of the Rose Bowl in the quarterfinal last year with a bye. So this year, Indiana, you know, they're lucky enough that they played Alabama last week and got their backup quarterback and was able to just destroy them. So they're getting a lot of accolades right now that they're unstoppable. So we're going to see, guys.
You know, I'm just thinking about how evenly matched these two teams are now. You've got the projected number one and number two pick in the NFL draft in our quarterbacks. You've got two phenomenal defenses. You know, the defense has been good all year long, not giving up a whole lot of points. They're kind of mirror images of each other. Both got very capable receivers, and that originally was called incomplete, and they reviewed that, and that guy got that toe down. I don't know how that happened. I still can't believe it. It would, like, defy the physics or something, the way he got his foot down. But these teams are two very evenly matched teams. It's going to be who protects the ball and limits mistakes. And I think that Dante Moore has something to prove in this. I'd really like to see that, you know, my first key to the game, have him come out and just blow the doors off these guys. He's going to have the game of his life.
You know, he's always very composed. But then you got the guy on the other side, Mendoza. He's always very composed. And Mendoza's very, very confident. And I think Dante can get – he's younger. And he can get rattled a heck of a lot faster, and we've seen that, Brandon.
Yeah, you know, I think Dante's proven himself. Went into Penn State, Happy Valley, wideout game. Composure was great the entire game. They ended up winning, so I don't know that I subscribe to the fact that his youth is going to cause him to get rattled. I think he's shown all year that he's can be very composed. He held up well in the Orange Bowl last week against Texas Tech. I mean, that great defense. He played well. You know, he didn't play spectacular, but he played good enough to drive the Ducks down the field. And, you know, they scored, two touchdowns and kicked a bunch of field goals. So I think he's got the composure in him to win this game. He's got the talent. He's got the arm. You know, I think you could go Dante Moore, number one pick, and Mendoza, number two. I mean, they're just that similar. I think
he's got the higher ceiling.
I think he does, for sure. He's got the stronger arm. So I think as long as we keep him clean and upright, I think you're gonna see a better game out of Dante Moore. You know, I don't want to say that this was the reason, but you know, there are some rumblings that came out earlier this week that Oregon was sick. A lot of players were sick going into that Indiana.
You know, we
game.
Avoided the excuses this whole thing. I was just going to say it too. You beat me to the punch.
Nope. I'm going to go with everybody is relatively healthy. I mean, we talked about Davison being injured. That's really pretty much the biggest injury that Oregon has as far as the whole team. I mean, there's some guys out, but a lot of them are in the portal, and that's why they're not available. So I think, yes, they're very evenly matched, but, you know, talked about it earlier, I think Oregon's got the higher ceiling, and they just got to put the game together.
All right. Well, we're going to have to get out to our final break and come back with predictions. Ducks taking on Indiana. Going to be a phenomenal football game today. We'll be back right after this.
This is the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales. Once again, here's Jeff, Jerry, and Brandon.
And here we are. We made it. It's prediction time, being brought to you by Bo Domino's Pizza. You can go online right now and save 20% on your order. And it's the perfect food for this evening, so why wouldn't you do it? So you got plenty of time. Yeah. You can walk out with one for $7.99 too, a three topping large. So whichever your preference is, I prefer the 20% off. So, guys, let's get at it. Tim Hammer didn't send me anything. He went dark, so his prediction does not get told. He's gonna have to keep that in his brain. Okay, who's next? Jerry.
I think Jerry wants me to go first.
Oh, he does.
He thinks I'm gonna pick Indiana. Looking at the total over-under, what is it, like 48 or something like that?
47-ish, something. I think. 47 and a half.
Yep. My score prediction is 24-20, and pick the team. I think they're that evenly matched, and it's who's going to play the cleaner game. I want to see Oregon win. You know what? Screw it. Oregon, 24-20.
There nice. You go.
Okay.
Attaboy, Brandon. Way okay. to waste more
you
time.
You tricked me. You had me worried.
10 seconds of my life just went away.
All right, I got a slew of guys here. Barrett picks 28-17 Ducks. Tiffany, 24-20. Brooksy with a 24-13. Bodie, 30-20, doing a little flip of the script. Coop's got a 17-14. I toyed with that score a lot. Duck hater number one. I hope he gets one more prediction, but he picked 24-10 Indiana. And everybody's favorite Dennis Monty says 20-17. Ah, this game has just killed me. And the over-under, yeah. I thought it'd be a defensive battle at first, and then I started thinking about it. You know, necessity is the mother of invention, and once you open it up, these are two very capable offenses that, you know, can score on anybody or anything at any time. I got to do it, but I'm just going to go 2017.
2017.
Ducks.
Ducks. Okay. You know, I think Cignetti, I mean, this guy, he has a tendency to slow things down. He's very methodical offensively, mm-hmm. and I think that's why it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think 48 is whatever the points are. It's not going to be an over. There's no stinking way. But I think the Ducks are going to get revenge. I didn't think so earlier, actually, before the game. I didn't, or this show, I didn't think I was going to pick the Ducks. But you know what? I'm going to go with the Ducks. And I'm going 23-20. I think it's a last-second field goal, and I think they're going to do it. Sappington's going to avenge himself from the last game coming into halftime. Mm-hmm. So
I like it.
There you go. 23-20. Bank it. There it is. Okay, guys. Thanks for the show. This has been phenomenal. You're going to... What is it? We got Jerry Jorgie and Joey on the other side. Thanks for listening, and go Ducks!
This has been the Capital Auto Group Duck Tailgater Show, presented by Highway Trailer Sales on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.